I don't know about you, but I love this time of year. Fall. Mainly because I don't like summer. It's hot. And I sweat way too much. If you could see really close, you'd see I'm sweating right now. And I just do not like to sweat. So I love this change of seasons when the weather gets a little bit cooler. I don't even mind the strong wind. It's okay. I like it cool. I like it cold. If you knew what the temperature was in my house this week, you would probably be like, you're crazy. It got down to 58 in my house one day this week. I'm telling you right now, it is nice. I did go turn the heat on. I don't want everyone to get sick, so I did turn the heat on. But I love this time of year and just the change that happens. There's a couple of things I was thinking about for this time of year, and they all started with F. The first one is a fall classic, and that's the World Series. I enjoy baseball. I enjoy it a lot better when my team is doing well. They did not do well this year, so I did not watch the World Series because I do not like the Dodgers. But I enjoy the fall classic baseball. It starts in October with the playoffs, usually finishes the first part of November, and it's just a lot of fun. The best athletes in the world playing baseball is just a lot of fun, and I really enjoy it. You can't say F and not think of football this time of year. I enjoy football. And this message may be about 3 hours long tonight, and that'll be Brother Gray's fault. He was up here trashing Washington as they were playing this morning, and I'm pretty sure that's the reason they lost. And because his team's playing in just a little bit, we may go a little bit longer. Not really, but I did threaten that because, you know, just, oh my goodness. We did stop you guys from going to the in the playoffs any further last year, so just remember that. But I enjoy football. It's a lot of fun. I really enjoy college football, the upsets that happen in the fall, the teams that have their hopes built for the playoff and bowl games, and then they lose, and they're out, and they lose to the most terrible teams possible. I mean, it just happens. But I enjoy football. I enjoy family. So many family get-togethers that happen this time of year. Thanksgiving next week, and just the amount of time that you'll get to spend with family and friends is just, it's very, especially if you don't get together a lot, when you have the opportunity to get together with family, it is just a very good time. Fellowship. Not always are you able to get together with family, but sometimes you're able to get together with friends, maybe it's coworkers as you have holiday parties and things, and the fellowship that tends to happen in the fall and through the holiday season, even through the first of the year, is just a lot of fun. And then the one thing that brings all of that together is feasting. Feasting. I'm telling you, I enjoy some good food, and you do not have to tempt me very hard with food before I will show up. So be careful. If you say there's going to be some food around, I will be there. It doesn't matter if it's a tailgate party or a football game for a bowl game. Obviously, all the stuff we'll do for families and everything, it's a lot of fun when you get together and you can enjoy some good food. It just makes everything better when there's good food that's involved. And so let's look at our verse for tonight, 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're going to look at verse numbers 20 and 21. So I hope you have your Bibles open, 2 Timothy 2, verses 20 and 21. I'll go ahead and read those. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man, therefore, purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. Guys, could you have you bring that table up for me? I just love how the Bible can take something and how God used someone like the Apostle Paul to bring something that's so practical to life and to help us to see an illustration. And I was just praying, as I knew I would have the opportunity to speak to you this evening, I was just praying, Lord, what is it that you would have me to preach on? What is it that I need? What is it that I need? And can it be something that I can share with the folks tonight? And so I want to look at these vessels. Verse 20 mentions several different types of vessels or dishes, if you would, gold, silver, wood, and earthen vessels. Each has a very specific purpose and application for its use. And so I got to thinking about these things and got to doing a little bit of study and trying to figure out how are these things all used. And, you know, I think I know, and just my limited experience being around some of this stuff. But it was interesting just to see how they're used. But as I was thinking about this, there was something in Brother Kidwell. He has done this several times. And so I'm blaming Brother Kidwell for some of my message because I have yet to use any like physical illustrations. And he's had a sandbox and he had a skeleton. And so I'm like, okay, I got to get in on this. And then he starts mentioning different movies and things. And while I was getting ready for this message, I just thought about Beauty and the Beast. And be our guest with all the dishes that are dancing and singing. And so as I'm going through these lists of different types of dishes, that's what I can see just kind of rolling around in my mind is be our guest with all the dishes out singing and dancing. So anyway, you can just get a glimpse of what goes on inside sometimes. God has a specific plan and a specific use for each of us. And what we should do is we should desire to know and understand what that use is. And then allow God to be able to mold us and to make us and to use us how he sees fit. So I started to think about what kind of vessel am I? Am I gold, silver, wood, earthen vessel? You know, and just in my flesh, I'm like, I sure don't want to be some earthen vessel. Oh, I want to be like gold or silver. And as I'm thinking about that, I'm like, no, I can't do that. That's being prideful. And then I was thinking, okay, well, who do I know that I would think is a gold vessel? And who would be a silver vessel? And then the Lord just kind of like smacked me in the back of the head and reminded me 2 Corinthians 10:12, for we dare not make ourselves of number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise. So the Lord just rebuked me right there. Number one, don't be prideful, trying to think you're better than what you really are. And don't compare yourself to someone else because that's not wise. And so once the Lord kind of straightened me out a little bit, then I started to focus in on what he would have me to look at. So this evening, as we go through some of these vessels, number one, don't maybe think that you're better than what you really are. Let God show you what you are. And then don't sit here and think about anyone else and what vessel are they. Focus on you. Focus on what God is trying to do in your life, what he wants you to be. What is the finished product that he would have for you? So I've got a couple of things here. The first one, I've got this, we're going to wannabe gold, okay? Because I don't have any gold vessels. So I've got a gold vessel here. And this is the first one that is mentioned in the passage. Now, I think we could all agree that the first thing we think of when we think of a golden vessel is something that's fancy. It's probably maybe the centerpiece that you would bring out. And as you set your fancy table for your guest coming for Thanksgiving, it's the centerpiece to your table. The best dish is going to be on there. Whatever your meal that you're preparing, that's going to be on there. It's going to be centered on your table. Or maybe you have a set of dishes that have a little bit of gold trim around them. And so they're the fancy dishes that you break out only when the special people come over. You know, every time else when any of the kids look around them, you're like, nope, get away. If you look at it, you're going to break it. Just stay away from that stuff. But it's the fancy stuff. And I think we could all agree that it is definitely the fancy stuff. And it's very easy for us to see that that is the case. It's not something that you would use every day. It is just set aside for those special occasions. Or maybe it's a decorative piece, and it's something that's been passed down from one generation to the next in your family, and you just have it out on display for all to see, and you get to tell the story of this heirloom possession and the history of how it's kind of gone through your family. But there are some other applications. There are some really neat applications for gold. So I did some looking into this. For scientific application, you see, gold is highly resistant to corrosion and tarnish. It's not going to tarnish easy. It's going to fight off against the things that would cause it to corrode. It is safe to be in a more harsh environment. It's a good conductor of heat, not the best, but a good one. And all of us probably have one of these things in our pockets. And in everyone's phone is a little bit of gold. because of the harsh environment, the heat. Talk on your phone for a little while, be on a video, let it sit on your charger as you're driving down the road, and then touch it, and you're like, ooh, that thing is really warm. And so they put gold in there because of its properties to be able to fight off that heat. Gold also is stable, and it's used for electronics because it needs to have a reliable connection. Oh, that's really important for cell phones, right? There's nothing worse than a drop call. We recently changed cell phone providers, and before we did that, we would drive through the neighborhood across the street, and unfortunately, we named it the bad neighborhood. Not because it's full of people who are just shady characters or it's dangerous. No, it's bad because every time we go through there, we would drop our call. It doesn't matter who you're talking to. It doesn't matter what you're doing. You're going to drop the call. You can try to listen to a Bible verse driving through the neighborhood, and it's gone. There was not good connection, but gold is used because it has a reliable connection. The next one in the Bible verse is silver. Silver is the second dish that is described. And in many ways, it's just like gold, except it's a little more affordable. And so, maybe I could afford to have a silver dish, but I'm going to use it the same way. I'm going to keep it for the special occasions, for the guests. It's going to be, again, that heirloom item. A lot of the same qualities and characteristics that we've talked about for gold are going to be found in that silver vessel as well. But, oh, goodness, the applications for silver seem to be much more practical than that of gold. First, do you know why it's called silverware? It's because it was originally silver was used for your eating utensils. And that's because silver's properties help to fight off antimicrobial properties. It fights off bacteria. And so it is really good. So think about it. I mean, where does your silverware end up? I mean, it ends up in your mouth. There's a lot of germs in our mouths. There's a lot of germs that can build on food. And so silver was used in making utensils because it would fight off the bacteria that would tend to build on it. Silver also would last for a while. It would hold its shape. It was durable. It had longevity to it. And so you could get these silver utensils, these silver dishes, and they would last for a long time. And so you didn't have to worry about replacing it. You didn't have to worry about it getting messed up. It was just nice to have something that would last for a long time. Silver also has a very high durability. Well, I already said that. But because of the properties, they would also use silver in making creams for burns. Because, again, silver would take and fight off germs and fight off bacteria. And so they would take and use silver to make creams for burns because of its ability to kill bacteria and prevent infection. The next one that we see is a wooden one. So this is a really nice wooden bowl here. It's nice to have my in-laws with us this evening. This is actually a gift that my father-in-law had made for Holly. And so it's very special to her, so I promised I wouldn't drop it or break it or anything. But wooden vessels. And we think, of all of the things on here, by far the wooden vessel is the most economical. It's not got the value, it's not got the cost that the silver and the gold has. We all have wooden utensils. We have cutting boards in our homes. We have wooden spoons and spatulas, and you use it to spank your kid when they're not behaving, and all of those things. I've probably broken one or two on William over the time. But wood is usually, unless you're getting something like pressure treated, usually wood is chemical free. And so it doesn't have the harsh chemicals that is in it. It's non-reactive to food. And it's heat resistant. That's why we use it for utensils. So, when you're stirring the roux for making a gravy or a macaroni and cheese that you're going to bake for Thanksgiving dinner, it's not going to get really hot like a metal spoon. Leave a metal spoon in a hot boiling pot of something and then grab a hold of it. And you're going to realize that was a mistake. I should have used a wooden one. And so we see these wooden utensils used in kitchens and everything all over the place. The last one that we see, and this one's little, it's an earthen vessel. And so this is something that's made of, maybe it's clay, and then it's kind of glazed and it's become ceramic, and it's got that hardened finish to it. And so we've got gold, silver, wood, and then an earthen vessel. Earthen vessels, whether it's a clay pot or a ceramic dish, they have unique uses. Clay pots were used to store water and other liquids, and they would help maintain a cool temperature. But then they were also used for slow cooking because they would also hold heat. And so they would allow people to be able to cook things slowly. Ceramic vessels are used a lot for serving dishes. And so how many times do you go through and what type of plates do you have? You've got ceramic plates in your house, and so you use a lot of those. You know, it's very easy to look at dishes. And as we start to think about who are we and what kind of dish are we, it's really easy to compare. And we want to be like someone else, or we want the position that someone else has. We want to have the gifts and the abilities that someone else has. And most of the time when we do that, what we don't realize is we don't realize what they've gone through to get to that finished product. There is a refining. There is a process. To get gold, it comes. Gold and silver are both coming from the earth, and they're in a very raw form, and they go through this forging process, this heating till it glows orange, and then a goldsmith or a silversmith pounds away at it to shape it into the final image of what it would be. It has to basically cook off and separate in that heating process all of the imperfections and impurities, because it doesn't come out of the ground looking like that. It doesn't come out as a gold bar or a silver bar. It comes out mixed with all this dirt and gunk, and it has to be separated. And the refining fire separates those imperfections, brings it to the surface, and then they're scraped away so that you can get to the gold and silver and then begin to heat it again and again and again, pounding away, forming it into something that it would be. But too many times when we think about, oh, well, this person, maybe they're a gold dish or they're a silver dish, and, oh, I wish I was like them, we don't think about what have they been through to get to that place. Each of us have a different testimony. And our testimony, the things that the Lord has done in our life, allows us to minister to people in a different way. If you've been in a life and you've had drug issues and alcohol issues, you're going to be able to minister to people in a way that I can't, because I've never had those issues. If you're single, you surely are going to have a hard time ministering to someone who's married and going through marriage problems. I mean, I don't really want to take any advice from, no offense, Brother Christopher, I don't want marriage advice from you. I mean, it's just not, I mean, so we all have different things that the Lord is going to use in our life to make us what we are, to allow us to be used for Him. Something like wood, you think of it, you know, it's got to get cut down. And then as I was studying for this, I was just scrolling, and like Facebook reads your mind, I feel like. And so I was probably talking out loud, and then I saw this wood lathe, and the guy put a huge chunk of wood on a wood lathe. I'm like, you're out of your mind. And he takes a chisel and starts chiseling away to get to a finished product. That's a lot of work. That's a lot that has to come off. This was a tree, and it's a bowl. It took a lot to get that bowl into its shape. And so maybe you're a wooden vessel, and no different than a refining fire. You had to go through a process to allow the Lord to take away something from what's in your life so that He could turn you into the finished vessel that you are. The same thing with the earthen vessel. It wouldn't do any good to take and have a clay pot that just sits and air dries. It's not going to hold anything. It's not going to hold its shape. It's not going to last long. It has to be heated. It's got to go through a furnace. And then if it gets glazed, it's got to go through that process again so that it can be used. Otherwise, it's just a clump of mud, and it's not going to be useful. And so we often don't think about what a person has been through. We just go right to the, oh, I wish that I was like that, or I wish I could be in that position. And sometimes, Brother Christopher talked about it this morning, sometimes we look for, well, I want a position where people see me. And you don't think about what have other people been through so that the Lord can have them in that position. Sometimes it's not easy to get to that finished product of what the Lord would have you to be. The other thing that I really enjoy about looking at these things, and how many times do you go through and you see that on the bottom, it's engraved. It's got a special mark or a special message from the person who made it. And this one does. It's got a special message. from the person who had it commissioned and had it made to the person that it was given to. And so someone who designs a gold vessel or a silver vessel, they'll put their mark on it. As a Christian, we should have a mark from our Lord and Savior on our lives. We should be marked. We should be allowing Him to take and put His mark on us. But I also think about, I really hope as you guys get ready for Thanksgiving, you're not going to just pull a dish out of the cupboard. You've got one of these fancy dishes that probably only gets used a couple of times a year. And I'm looking at this one and there's a little bit of dust on the inside. You're not going to take and pull it right out of the cupboard or right off the shelf where it's on display and put food on it right away. This verse tells us that we have to be purged. We have to be sanctified. And so what does that look like? Yes, we've allowed the Lord to take and to use us and to mold us, and to make us. There's a difference between all of these objects and what they've gone through. I've seen these shows where they try to make swords and stuff. Think about ISI. And sometimes they're, oh, the material's fighting me. Well, it's not really fighting you. You're just having a hard time getting it shaped into what you want it to be. But these objects were not fighting the maker. How often do we fight the maker when he's trying to form us into a vessel that he wants us to be? We won't let go of something. We talked about this morning, coming to the altar and leaving something at the altar. And if we hold on to that thing and we don't allow God to help remove it from our life, we're fighting him as he's trying to mold us and to make us into the vessel that he would have us to be. So that's the difference between this stuff and us, is we often fight the maker as he's trying to mold us into an image that he would have us to be. But before you can use these things, you got to wash them. They've got to be purged. They've got to be sanctified. And again, my visual mind, I was thinking about, man, what does that look like? If you were to go into the kitchen of the gym, you're going to find a 3-compartment sink. And it's a big commercial sink that you're going to find in any restaurant. And it's got, you know, very specific guidelines from the health department about what you're supposed to do in each compartment. And oh my goodness, it is not the easiest thing dealing with the health department sometimes. In my days at Walmart, we would get these health inspection visits all the time. And they wanted to drill you in all of these questions, and they were looking for a way to find you doing something wrong so they could give you a citation or give you a poor grade or something. And so you're always training and preparing and getting ready for it. So before the Lord can use us, we have to be purged. We have to be sanctified. That's what it says in verse 21. It talks about that purging and sanctification. And so the first process in that is we have to go through a cleaning process, and it starts with scraping away any residue that may be on there. Well, this stuff looks clean. I mean, it looks clean, so there's nothing that you're going to have to scrape off. But maybe you've got a dish in your house and you didn't like clean it really good, and maybe there's something left on there and you've got to scrape it off. You've just finished baking and you're trying to get it ready for the next time you use it. You've got to scrape off the residue. You've got to clean it. You've got to rinse it off. That's the first step. Step one is you got to scrape it off. You've got to rinse it off. You've got to get it to where it doesn't look really dirty before you put it in the soapy water. And that's the next step. It goes in that first compartment of the 3-compartment sink. Now, it's very specific. I pulled this off of some of the guidelines for how are we supposed to wash dishes in a 3-compartment sink. So first, scrape off the residue. Get any of the baked stuff off. Second, you've got to wash it in soapy water. And the soapy water's got to be at least 110 degrees. Wash some dishes for a little bit in a sink of 110 degree water, and you're going to feel it. But it's got to be hot. You got to have the soap so that it can work to remove any other material that's left on your dishes. After you've washed it, is it clean? No. You've got to get the soap off. We don't want to have a dish that's got a soap residue on there. So it goes to the next compartment and you rinse it off. You get rid of all the soap residue that may be left on your dish. Is it clean? The health department says, no, it's not. Now, maybe at home you don't have a sanitizer sink that we have like in the kitchen over in the gym. But the next step is to go into a sanitizing solution. It's a chemical solution meant to remove any unseen bacteria, any of the germs that are still left on there. And it's got to be even hotter, 170 degrees with this chemical solution to kill the germs and kill the bacteria that's still on there. That's what the third sink is used for. Is it done? No, it's not. It then goes to the fifth and final stage of cleaning, and that's to air dry. Now, I got to tell my wife, I'm not supposed to dry the dishes with a towel because the towel can have bacteria and germs on it. It needs to air dry. Remember, I say that the dishes need to soak, and now the dishes need to air dry, so that gives me a reason not to put them away when I'm done washing the dishes. So the dishes need to air dry. So guys, that's your get-out-of-jail-free card for Thanksgiving. They've got to air dry. It's off the internet, okay? So it's, you know, it's true. So we've got to be purged. We've got to remove anything. We've got to remove the pollutants that are on there that prevents us from being used, that prevents us from being clean so that those dishes can serve the people that we are going to provide a meal to. The verse tells us that we have to purge things. So in our life, what do we need to purge? The rest of the way through the chapter, it gives us a list. A list of things that we need to get rid of, but also a list of things that we should have as part of our life. Here's some of the things that we need to get rid of. Youthful lust. We've got to get rid of youthful lust. We've got to get rid of, and it's really unique that the scripture put these two together, foolishness and unlearned questions. Brother Kidwell, you know what I get a lot of as principal? Foolishness and unlearned questions. I mean, all the time, foolishness and unlearned questions. It's no coincidence that that's right after youthful lust, because when we're young, we tend to do things that just don't make a lot of sense and are unlearned. Stop and think about what you're going to ask before you ask it. But that's something that we need to purge out of our life. We also, the Bible tells us in this passage, that we have to remove striving. Fighting against one another, this bickering and arguing and just this spirit of strife, we have to remove that. But then it tells us of things that we should have as part of our life. Righteousness, faith, charity, peace, a pure heart, gentleness, being apt to teach, patient and meek. Combine those two. That's quite a list. What we shouldn't have and what we should have. Things we need to get rid of and things we need to be like. Once we are purged of the pollutants that are in our life, we can be sanctified. We can be made holy. We can be used and set apart for His use. None of us wants to use a dirty dish. You would be humiliated if on Thanksgiving someone sits down to eat dinner with you and they've got a dirty dish. Oh, it's so embarrassing. You feel terrible that that fork has a little bit of something left on it and it didn't get clean. And oh, that dishwasher is such a piece of junk, you know. We're going to have to throw it out and get a new one. Always blame the dishwasher, even if it's the husband. It's okay. But you don't want to use a dirty dish. We want to make sure that we're serving and using things that are thoroughly cleaned. So the ones that we care for, that we're providing for, are taken care of the right way. We need not to focus on what God has made someone else. Too much, we do too much of that. We miss that verse in 2 Corinthians. Don't compare other people. It's not ourselves to other people. It's not wise. But oh, our sinful nature, that's what we want to do. We want to just compare ourselves to others and justify why I'm not doing what God wants me to do, why I'm not living the way that I'm supposed to be living, because, well, they're not. And if they're not, then why do I? And look how much better I am than this person is. And so we just get stuck in this rut of comparing ourselves to other people. And the Bible says that that is not wise. We also have to be willing to allow God to mold us and to make us. Allow Him to chip away. For all of these things, they didn't start looking like this. They started looking another way. They had a process that it had to go through. And we have to allow God to take and do that. Sometimes it's adding something extra, like it's got these little beaded jewels around here to make it pop a little bit more and to make it a little bit more fancy. And other times it's just removing stuff. And we have to get rid of things out of our life so that we can be made into a vessel that is worthy of His use. Wouldn't it be nice to look at the different characteristics we talk about? Not tarnishing, not being easily corroded, withstanding heat and high pressure and high temperature, withstanding bacteria and germs. All of those different things are all great characteristics that as a Christian we should want in our life. And so, Lord, it doesn't matter what you have me, just help me to have those characteristics, those qualities in my life. Because some of us, you know, we look at it and we think, oh, I wish I was a gold vessel, but you don't know the heat and the pressure that person's going to be put in under. You don't know the bacteria, the germs, the different attacks that they're going to face, that that what God has made them into has allowed them to repel that. We just look and see pretty shiny, and that's what we want. But we should want characteristics of each of these things in our life so that no matter what God has for us, we are ready to be used for His service, for His use. And so I hope that as you get to your Thanksgiving meal or your football parties or whatever it is over the next couple of weeks, stop and think about the dishes. Are you allowing God to use you, to mold you and to make you into something that He can use each and every day? Don't be worried about what someone else is. Don't focus on them. We need to focus on ourselves. I've got more than enough to work on. I don't need to focus on everyone else's problems. That's for sure. So I just thank the Lord that He gave me this thought this evening, and it's been a challenge to me over the last week and a half, 2 weeks as I've worked on this, because sometimes I just lose focus. I lose focus so easy and get distracted by other things that are going on, by what's happening in someone else's life or how God's using them, and oh, I wish you would use, well, God wants to use me that way. I have to let Him use me that way. I have to be willing to be used. And it's not always very easy. Let's go ahead and pray this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this thought that you've given me. And Lord, I pray, Father, that you would help us just to take some time this evening to just reflect over, are we allowing you to be the creator, the designer of a vessel that you're working us out to be? And Father, I just think about Jeremiah and how he said that he wants to be able to mold Israel and use them. And Father, you want to be able to mold us and make us as believers into vessels worthy of honor, worthy of your use. And Father, I pray that you would help us to be that way this evening. Lord, I pray that you would help us to not compare ourselves to other people, not compare ourselves to anything else, but Father, only focus on what you're doing in our life and allowing you to remove the sin, to remove the obstacles, to remove those things that are preventing you from having full control over us. Father, I pray that you would just meet with us this evening as we go into this invitation. Father, I pray that you would just move and as you would see fit. In Jesus' name I pray. Would you stand?